All right, kids, you're dismissed to go to your classes. Thank you, Joe, for the reminder. I always forget. Guys, I don't know if it's just me, but do you guys sense that worship is just getting more intense every week and getting better? And that last song, I couldn't help but just get teary-eyed. That we belong to God for the rest of our days, forever. Just let that sink in, that we are His forever. No one could ever remove us from His hand. We are His. Let that be the foundation of today's message as we dig into it, guys. That you're forever God's. No matter what happens, no matter what's going on in your life, you belong to Him. Okay, so let's go ahead and pray before we get into God's Word. Father, we just come before You, humbled that You chose us to be part of Your family, that You saved us from the penalty of sin, and also from the bondage of sin. I pray, Father, that we would be reminded of that on a daily basis. Because, Father, I know all of us go through troubles. All of us have different circumstances, Father. But the one constant in every believer's life is You. So I pray that we would never forget that You never change. Your love for us is always unconditional. So we just want to pray, Father, this morning that we be filled with Your precious Spirit and that Your Spirit would speak through me this morning so that we would be able to apply what Your Word says, Lord. And I just want to leave everyone in here in Your hands, in Jesus' name. Amen. So, in this sermon series, we've been covering what it means to have a marriage that is defined by praise. A marriage that is defined by praise. The first week, we covered the attitude that Paul had of appreciation towards our Lord. Not only what God had done for him, but what God could do in the life of the believer. And he also addressed the power that God had to transform. He addressed the power that God had to transform. And last week, we talked about what it means to walk in love and how that affects marriage as well. And the only way that we can walk in love, according to what Paul was saying in Ephesians 5, was to imitate God. To imitate God. And love came by way of offering and sacrifice. And the example that we have is Jesus Christ. And when we do this, church, when we walk in love, according to last week's message, we won't give in to the pleasure-seeking sin, which is a direct result of lack of appreciation. Because Paul, after he starts listing those sins, he says, instead of doing that, but rather be giving thanks. Rather be giving thanks. This appreciation will also lead us into a marriage that walks in light. And that's what we're going to be covering this morning. Walking in light. And one thing that I failed to mention the past several weeks is that marriage is a ministry in itself. Marriage is a ministry in itself. And when it comes to discipleship, there should be discipleship going on at home as well. There should be discipleship going on at home. And our marriage will directly affect those around us. Whether we know it or not, it will. And I know that many times we're placed in difficult positions, whether it be at work, with family, or with friends, who want us to partake in their sinful actions, their sinful practices. So today we're going to be talking about what it means to walk in light and how do we react as followers of Christ when we're tempted with these sinful actions. And before we get into our passage this morning, there mainly are two extremes that believers take when it comes to addressing sin that's around us that people are practicing. The first one that many believers do, they try to relate so much to the world that they end up partaking in the sins. They try to relate so much to the sinner that they partake in the sins that those people are practicing. That's one extreme. The other extreme that we see within the believer's life that many times they take is they isolate themselves completely from the world and want no part of it. But what does that do? It removes every opportunity that we have to share Jesus with them. So there needs to be a balance, and that's what Paul's going to be talking about this morning in to this church in Ephesus. So let's go ahead and read Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 through 14. Ephesians 5, verses 8 through 14. And let's see how we can compare this this passage leading up to the marriage relationship. Because remember, we talked about it last week as well, that further down in this chapter talks about the roles within marriage. I think many times we forget what it takes leading up to those roles. What does it take leading up to those roles? So this is what it says. Ephesians 5, verses 8 through 14. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful to even speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. So we saw last week that Paul's encouraging the church to walk in love. Now to walk in light. And the thing is, what does it mean to walk in light? Well, we need to understand what light is associated with. And when we see that first verse in verse 8, it says, for at one time you were darkness. For at one time you were darkness. So Paul tells us that a marriage defined by praise should involve two children who walk in light and not in darkness. Because darkness is who we were. Darkness is who we were. The believer needs to realize that they are no longer darkness. So what is associated with darkness before we get into the light? Being associated with Satan, sin, disobedience, and also, guys, blindness. When there is darkness, we cannot see. I know last month, I had the privilege of preaching a couple sermons in the book of 2 Peter. And one thing that stood out to me was when the believer is not growing and getting closer to God, they're not getting closer to light. And there's a verse in there that says, when we're not growing, when we're not attaining the attributes that God wants us to attain, it says that we become so nearsighted that we are blind to the fact that Jesus died and paid for our sins. Think about that. Nearsighted. Nearsighted is just being able to see what's in front of you. And that's why I start off this message. It doesn't matter what you're going through. You belong to Jesus. You belong to Him. But many times when we lose sight of who He is, and who we are in Him, all we can see is the problems right in front of us. And that's because we're being blinded, because we're leaning towards darkness and not light. But in that same verse, it says, "For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord." You are something new. You are someone new. You are a new creation. No longer are you associated with the darkness. So, in order for the believer to walk in darkness, we need to realize first who we are in Christ. I think many times we forget that on a daily basis. Light is associated with Jesus, holiness, and instead of blindness, is eyes that are open to the truth. Eyes that are open to the truth. That's what light does for us. I said they realize who they are. In that verse, it says to walk as children of light. Last week, Paul reminds us that we need to imitate God as dear children. I think we forget the magnitude of what that means, that we are children of God. Last week, Joe's mom passed away. She went to go be with the Lord. We were able to go to the celebration of life this past Wednesday. His brother said something very interesting as he was up there speaking about his mom. He said that when they did something wrong, people would not mention him or his siblings by name. They would mention the parents' names. For example, if my daughter does something wrong, people would say, "Oh, did you see what Lee and Andrea's kid did?" I think many times we forget who we represent. He says to walk as children of light because that's who we are. And guys, as believers, I see that many times we walk as if we're still single. And I know many, when we hear that word, we think, well, I'm not married. Well, if you're a believer, you're married to Christ. But you're still living the single life. Let me ask this question. For those of you who are married, would you like your spouse to still live as if he's single? Or she's single? Think about it. I know for a fact my wife wouldn't. She always jokes around. But let me share this verse first and I'll tell you what she says. Okay, let's go to James 4:4. This is one of my favorite verses. But it scared me when I first read it. The very first time I came up across it. James 4:4. Look at what it says. "You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." Think about that. Many times we say, we want God, but we still want part of the world. Well, in the context of marriage, would your spouse be okay with you being married to them, but them also having a boyfriend or girlfriend? Think about it. That's why this verse starts off by saying, "You adulterous people." Because we want both God and the world. We can't have both. And my wife jokes around that if I were to ever do something like that, she'd shoot me. I say she jokes around, but I don't know if she really is, right? she's in back of class when I'm teaching, and she goes. And I get to pick on her because she's not here today, right? My daughter's sick, so she stayed home with the kids. So Well, don't tell her. But yeah, and if your spouse wouldn't enjoy that, how much more do you think God wouldn't? When it comes to us wanting to be a part of the world and also wanting him at the same time. The believer needs to realize that they are a child of God. That's the first thing. But that's not enough. If we go back to Ephesians chapter 5, in verse 8, not only does he say, "For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord," but he also says, "Walk as children of light." It's one thing to realize something, and it's another thing to live it out. Many of us can say, "Yes, I'm a child of God," and that's true. But how does our life demonstrate that? Does it line up with what we say? And the reason Paul says to walk as children of light is because not every child of light will walk as a child of light. It's a command. So how do we do this? Well, let's keep reading. In verse 9, it says, "For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true." And verse 10 says, "And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord." So, in order for us to walk in light, we need to bear fruit. We need to bear fruit. And there's three of them that Paul gives us, three examples of fruit here. He says that everything that is good, so we need to walk in goodness. Guys, a behavior that benefits others ahead of oneself. A behavior that benefits others ahead of oneself. Concern for others' well-being, spiritually, and also in every other way. He also says to walk in what is right. So there needs to be a fruit of righteousness. And how do we do that? Well, there needs to be a conformity to God's righteous standards. Being upright before God and others. And I think you're going to notice a trend, right? First God, then others. In order for us to affect others in a godly way, we first need to be right with him. In order to love others, we first need to love him. And then it says, in what is true. So we need to be people who walk in truth. People of integrity. Nothing to hide. Why? Because we are light in the Lord, according to verse 8. If we are walking in light, what do we have to hide? And in terms of marriage, how many of us keep secrets from our spouse? If our spouse was able to see everything that we do, would there be shame, or would your spouse feel honored by the way that you live? Because you're walking in truth. And sometimes people might see goodness, righteousness, and truth, and they say, "Well, there's people who don't know Jesus who are good people, who do what is right, and are honest." Well, look at what Paul adds in verse 10. It says, "And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord." And in the book of Hebrews, we see that we cannot please the Lord without faith. That's something that only the believer can do. But if we're seeking what is pleasing to the Lord, that means we're seeking what is pleasing to the Lord in here. In his precious word. I think many times we come to the Lord in prayer. But that's a one-way conversation, because many times we don't get into his word and hear what he has to say. And remember, in order to bear fruit, there needs to be much light. Think about it. In order for fruit to grow, there needs to be light. And in order for fruit to grow in us, we need to be exposed constantly to the light. And bearing fruit takes time. But in order to do that, it needs Jesus. And think about it this way, in terms of marriage. If we're walking in goodness, righteousness, truth, and we're constantly seeking what is pleasurable to the Lord, it will build trust within your marriage. It will build trust within your marriage. Why? Because your spouse would see that the way that you live is seeking those righteous standards that belong to the Lord. And they'll have nothing to worry about. And I know, guys, life is hard. It's not easy. Tony was just talking about how powerful Satan is and how crafty he is at twisting God's words. And he went to the book of Job, and something stood out to me. Just in the first couple verses, it says that Job was upright and he shunned evil. He's upright and he shunned evil. And right here we see that this person that Paul is trying to encourage us to be walks in goodness, righteousness, and truth. And the reason I bring up Job, because many times we base our walk on our circumstances. Job had everything taken away from him, including his health. And he still worshiped God. We let the smallest things get in between us and our Lord. Just remember this, that love is not based on circumstances. God gives us unconditional love. It's a commitment, it's a choice. It's not based on performance, it's not based on any of that stuff. Remember that. So as we keep moving on, verse 11, it says, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. So walking in light exposes deeds in darkness. Walking in light exposes deeds in darkness. So according to verse 11, we are taught to reject fruitless works of darkness. Fruitless works of darkness. Why? Because these works, guys, are empty. They will leave us wanting more. They will never fill that void that we have inside that only Jesus can fill. It says to reject fruitless works of darkness. If we partake in them, what are we doing with others? Are we pointing them towards Jesus or away? I don't know if you guys ever think about this, but I always do. That's always something that I have on my mind. And it's the day of judgment, the judgment seat of Christ. And when we get to come before our Lord. But now think of it in terms of marriage, right? The Bible says that we become one flesh, that there's a oneness that happens. If we don't reject these fruitless works of darkness, how is it going to be when your spouse comes before the Lord? Do we love them that much to reject those fruits because we're concerned about their well-being? Because these roles that we were given, men, husbands, is to be the head of the home, to love our wives as Jesus loved the church, as he gave himself up for her. If we don't reject the fruitless works of darkness on a continuous basis, What kind of leader are we being? And wives, it says to submit to your husbands as unto the Lord. And that means to trust the husband that God gave you. But what that doesn't mean is to give in and partake in their sinful practices. Think about the day of judgment. You're still saved. You're getting into heaven if you come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But is he going to say, "Well done, good and faithful servant"? Or when we come before our Lord, are we going to be ashamed? So according to verse 12, let's read that verse. It says, "For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret." Many times we have the attitude, "Well, I can talk about it as long as I don't live it out." Well, Paul says right here is that it's a shame for us to even talk about those things. And what I took from that verse is that us as believers should not praise the works of darkness. We shouldn't praise works of darkness. Our words should never lift up acts that are associated with living in sin. Guys, I think we forget that sin is so serious. It's a serious thing. But many times we look at sin as if it's no big deal. Well, how does sin affect marriages? It destroys them. And as a believer, we should always keep this in mind. Sin put the creator of heaven and earth upon that cross. William Barclay, he said this once, "The greatest disservice that any man can do to his fellow man is to make him think lightly of sin." The greatest disservice that any man can do to his fellow man is to make him think lightly of sin. Guys, I'm going to tell you something that in my life that helped me grow in my walk was to learn to hate sin. Temptation and sin, it bugs me to the core. I don't even like talking about it. I would encourage you to ask God to work in you in such a way that he would help you hate sin. Not the sinner, but sin. And the last couple verses that I want to cover is verses 13 and 14. It says, "But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, 'Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.'" So walking in light brings about awakening. If we look at verse 13, it says, "But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible." Guys, why do you think people prefer to sin when it's dark? When no one can see. So how does this affect us according to these verses? Well, a lifestyle of sin will shed light on people's lives. A lifestyle of light, I mean. A lifestyle of light will shed shed light on people's lives. This verse can be seen in two ways, according to scholars. In verse 14, when it says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Your lifestyle, if you're walking in light, can awaken a believer from giving in to their former lifestyle. And also, your lifestyle of walking in light can be used to breathe life into a person who is lost. God can use you. Guys, if you're sitting here and you're married, I want you to pay attention closely. And if you're not, but maybe one day you will be, pay attention to this as well. Marriage was created to be so much more than we think. Our marriages were made to impact more than just the people in our homes. Marriage should be an example of the love that Jesus has for his bride, the church. I want to end with these closing thoughts. Us as children of light, we should be guilty of being associated with light. Why? Because that's who we are. We should be guilty of being associated with light. The second one is show no mercy towards sin. Why? Well, sin showed no mercy on us. That's why we live in a Genesis 3 world, a fallen world. All of this is an effect of sin. Don't play around with sin. And three, we were created to live for more than ourselves. Marriage should have an eternal purpose. Not just a purpose of what's in this world. Our purpose should be to bring glory to God. And how do we do that? Love God and love people. Jesus makes it simple. Love God and love people. The question is, as we leave here today, are you going to make the decision to be obedient to the light or to the darkness? Because either one that we choose will demonstrate how much we love God and how much we love people. God blesses us by allowing us to choose. So, church, it's up to you. Is your goal for the light of Christ to shine as bright as it can in your life and in your marriage? I pray that it will be if it's not. And if it is, don't give up. Why? Because you are God's all of your days. Forever. And he's never going to give up on you. Amen? Let's go ahead and pray. Lord Jesus, We thank you so much for being obedient to the Father's plan, obedient to the point of death on that cross. I pray, Father, that you would work in us in such a way that you would always remind us of who we are in you. That will never change. I understand, Lord, that this life is not easy, that there are attacks from the enemy, and there are things that we do to make life tougher on ourselves. But Father, you're still there. And I pray that we would understand that when you came and you sent your son to die on that cross and to rise on the third day, that was not just to save us from going to hell. That was to save us from being slaves to sin, and so that we would be able to be lights unto the world. Father, I pray that you would bring understanding to all of us when it comes to being light of the world, that we would all see the responsibility that we have as your children. Father, I just want to lift up the offerings as well. I pray that you would continue to bless the congregation, that you would continue to help the leadership, Lord, and give us wisdom in how to administer these funds that are coming in, Lord, for your glory. But Father, we just leave them in your hands. In Jesus' name, amen.